Okay, good evening. This is K2BAR. Your host is W2 Tango 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 Gordon. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Net is held every Thursday on the Bergen County FM Association 14679 repeater in Paramus, New Jersey. And we thank them for the use of their repeater and encourage all members and users of the repeater to consider joining the repeater group as well as Bergen Amateur Radio Association. The Technical Net does not require membership in order to participate. It does, however, require that you have an amateur license of technician class or higher, or some reciprocal arrangement that allows you equivalent privileges. Amateur radio is a technical hobby, and as such, pretty much any subject is fair game for discussion during the net. What we ask people to do, I'm sorry if I'm a little winded here, but I'm running around here tonight. But anyway, we ask that you check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, and, you know, basically, or none of the above, if you will. I guess that's basically what we do. In any case, we look forward to this net every week, and it's one of several baronets, which we'll talk about later. In any case, at this time, any stations with a November call, please come with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR and 2OEO with two questions.
Wow, two questions. N2OEL. Alrighty, noted that. We have two questions. Thank you, Noel. Good evening to you. And any other stations with a November call, please call K2BAR.
This is NJ1W, Dave. No questions.
Okay, NJ1W. Very good, Dave. Good to hear you. And any other stations, please call K2BAR.
K2ZO. No questions.
Okay, Jim. I did say any other station. dear me. I was wondering if someone was going to catch me on that one. Very good. No problem. Good evening to you. Any other stations with a November call, please call K2BAR.
You said November? I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't when you called in. I did the previous two times.
N3CRT, Charlie, no questions.
W2AKR, repeater.
Any other November stations, please call K2BAR.
NS2K, Jim, no question.
Good evening, Jim, NS2K, K2BAR. Anybody else from the November list? Okay, since we have a good start on the kilos already, any other kilo stations, please call K2BAR. KC2AWX from the far side of the moon, it sounds like. My lord. Harvey, I don't know what's wrong with your signal, but very good. Good to hear you. KC2AWX, anybody else with a kilo call, please call K2BAR.
KB2LCA, follow up on the question of last week.
Okay, Gary, no problem. Got your question noted. Any other kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KA2BDU Helmut, no question.
KA2BDU Helmut, good evening to you, sir. All right, no problem there. And let's see. Any other kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2AMI, Tony.
David.
Okay, K2AMI, do you have a question, Tony? Good evening.
K2AMI, no questions.
Okay, noted. And K2DSL, do you have a question? David, good evening to you.
Good evening. I can ask one if we run out of time, so I can always make one up.
Okay, very good, David. Alrighty, any other kilo stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Okay, let's move on to the alpha stations. Any alpha stations, please? questions, call K2BAR.
AB2XT, John, with questions.
AB2XT, good evening, John. Note that you have a question. Thank you very much. Any other stations with an alpha call, please call K2BAR. Okay, any... Alpha, Bravo, November, Kilo, I guess we've done them all. Oh, yes, we have. Wow, okay, very good. Any other stations, late check-ins, etc., with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, please call K2BAR at this time.
Whiskey 2, Sierra Alpha. Where's the W's? What are we, chopped liver?
Sorry. Must be tired. W4DSA, I'm so sorry. No, maybe chopped onions. Good evening, Daniel. Do you have a question or comment?
No comments today. No comments today other than, where were the W's? Where's the beef?
I should know better. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR.
Good evening.
WE2R, Charlie, with two questions. I think of us as pickled herring, not chopped liver.
Val Charlie, I tell you, if it's not chopped liver, it's going to be pickled herring. What can I tell you? What about gefilte fish, huh? All right. Good evening, Charlie. And did you have a question?
Yes, I actually have two, Gordon. One not technical, but one somewhat technical.
Oh, man, we're loaded with questions tonight. It's a good thing. Okay, very good. Any other stations with or without questions or comments, please call K2BAR at this time. Okay, NET acknowledges N2OEL, NJ1W, K2ZO, N3CRT, NS2K, KC2AWX, KB2LCA, KA2 Bravo Delta Uniform, K2AMI, K2DSL, Alpha Bravo 2 X-ray Tango, W4DSA, WE2R. Did I miss anybody? Okie doke, well, let's start at the top of the list. N2OEL, Mr. Noel, you want to fire off your first question for the net, please? Please call K2BAR.
Well, it's two questions on the same thing. I'm building a so-called tape measure antenna, and I noticed the one design showed that the tape measure elements were, well, as you look down the Aggie, you're looking at the edge of it. And I said to myself, well, gee, you know, when you go to put that in a car or something, it ain't going to fold very well. I'd be much better off turning them 90 degrees so when I push it in the car, it would just fold over. So question number one is, on a tape measure beam for direction finding, does it matter whether the elements are aligned so you're looking down, you're seeing the flat edge, the three-quarter edge, or are you looking? You're supposed to be looking at the diagram I was looking at, showed it at the thin edge, because I'd like to put it the other way if it made no difference. The second question is, one of the biggest problems in direction finding is when you're close to the fox, you get signal leakage through your coax and through the other connections. And the best RG58X I have appears to have 90%, 95% shielding. Yet I have a plentiful supply of RG6X, quad shielded. Since it's receiving, maybe you've been using that. K2BR and 2OEL.
That's a good question. They're both very good questions. I really don't think it matters with respect to the orientation of the elements, with respect to the boom. I think it's, you know, polarization is probably more of an issue, and as you noted, that's not an issue. So I think you just proceed as you would like. I think it'll be just fine. If it folds up better the other way, have it fold up better the other way. What's the big deal? With respect to leakage, in your attenuator, we had an opinion expressed by someone who's on the net the other night that suggested that in excess of 80 dB, you know, your attenuator bleed through, you know, is such that you really can't get an effective real-world attenuation. And I would be generally inclined to agree with that. So, with that in mind, I think that that anything you can do to enhance the shielding of the feed lines going in and out would be helpful, but it may not be enough of in itself. You may find that that you have to also shield the receiver as well, and I'm not so sure you can do that and still be able to access the necessary controls. But anyway, would anyone else like to comment on these two questions? Please call K2BAR.
AB2XT.
XT, go ahead.
I was curious whether on the second part of shielding, can things like metallized mylar, like a helium balloon that you punctured, or other things like that, can they be useful in the last 100 yards where, you know, you wrap it up and the only thing you have coming out is the wire?
For that answer, I would defer to either Tony or Jim or Jim. Let's start there. K2AMI, do you have a comment on this whole topic broadly, and then NS2K and then K2ZO, perhaps? We may be Tony-less at this moment because he may be doing the bedtime thing. Alrighty, how about NS2K, Mr. Jim?
Okay, I was mid-solder joint here. What was the question?
The question basically surrounded whether or not you could improve the effectiveness of an 120 dB attenuator by using quad-shielded coax, even if it perhaps had an impedance mismatch, because it was 70 ohm, rather than RG58. In order to get some extra margin of effectiveness on your attenuator. And then in a response, AB2XT, John suggested that perhaps, and it's a question, perhaps using a mylar balloon might help in that last little bit to provide some flexible shielding. Your thoughts, sir?
NSDK. One of the possibilities, yeah, you could use the quad shielded stuff, say between the radio and the attenuator, which is where the leakage is likely to occur. Most of the radios are not terribly well shielded either. You might find some aluminum foil around part of the radio might make a difference. Hopefully you won't need that much attenuation. I'm sure the mylar balloon, what, around the attenuator or around the radio, you got to be able to see. I think you'd have to be able to see the radio. You could probably fake the attenuator, you know, what switch is what. But generally, you want to be able to see the S meter, as it were, to see where you are. And I know that you don't end up getting or needing to be quite so sophisticated on a lot of this stuff, at least for anything that we do. I think one of the first winners that we had was an HT wrapped in aluminum foil with a hole through the side so they could see the controls on it. But the antenna itself was wrapped in a tube of aluminum foil so that it mostly looked out the end. One of the other successful ones was a piece of stove pipe with a similar hole cut in the side of it so that the HT antenna was looking out the end of the stove pipe, the open end, and the bottom of it was closed. So it doesn't take real fancy stuff to do well with us.
He's stovepipe, huh? That's interesting. Alrighty. So I guess the answer to the to both questions is go for it.
And to William.
Go ahead, Noel.
Well, I'm the one that owns the stovepipe, and I was trying to go one better. That's number one. Number two, the attenuator I have is labeled HP lab grade, and it starts with zero and goes up to 120 with one knob. It might be zero to 120. I mean, it's labeled that, so I'm hoping. And I don't know, would it be any good to put the attenuator in a metal case? I do have a metal case that would fit. But of course, I couldn't put the HT in also. So, anyways, that was my question. I think that's a good answer. I'll try building it in a kit night this coming Tuesday. And don't forget, Gordon, we now have the 440 net Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. K2BR and 2OER.
Yeah, I was going to save that little bit of commercial for a break toward the middle, but yeah, absolutely. I will make full note of that for the net. Alrighty. Jim, did you want to make any other comments? K2ZO, K2BAR?
Comment, W4DSX?
Yeah, this is K2ZO.
Jim first, then Daniel.
Yeah, I grabbed the wrong microphone. Alrighty. Well, if some of you may remember, there was a very good presentation on this subject a few years back at Barrett. Howie from the 1070 group showed how you could do that and discussed the fact that you were just not going to, when you got right on top of the thing or pretty close to it, that the best shielding in the world and the attenuator and all that stuff didn't work. And what the real heavy-duty box hunters do is they build a small box and they heterodyne the signal that they're looking for into the radio and adjust the injection, a little circuit that he showed and demonstrated. And he demonstrated that he could take a signal that was, you know, like 100 dB and bring it down to like next to nothing by adjusting the injection. You set your HD up 5 or 6 kc down, and then you use a heterodyne and heterodyne the signal you're looking for down to that. And it works very well.
Interesting. Okay. And that makes it more manageable for the for your S-meter to go find, if you will, for you. You'll find that null more readily. Okie doke. W4DSA, Daniel, go for it.
Actually, I had two comments on that one. The first thing is that Noel was claiming that he was using RG58X. That is some pretty leaky coax to be using for fine signal acquisition type of activity. I suggest using either something more along the lines of very, very thin hardline or, you know, even like quarter-inch hardline in a short piece. And secondly, in regards to his little attenuator enclosure, I've found that to shield small electronic modules using a piece of copper pipe, actually, with end caps and drilling the end caps for BNC connectors works fantastically to keep out anything, stray RF or anything nearby.
How big a pipe do you use?
Well, it's basically just use anything that, you know, your module will fit into. Typically, like an HD-mounted signal attenuator will fit into something like a 1-inch copper pipe, and you just get the little end caps for it. You don't even have to solder them on, but it helps if you really want to seal it up. And just flip them over there, and you have a very nice sealed enclosure that you can even solder a ground lead to.
How would you flip the switches to bring in and out attenuation?
Oh, well, that's different. That you have to start doing some customization for. But the little HD boxes that I've seen basically it attenuates when it's connected. That's the ones I've used, at least. But doing controls on the device might be a little bit difficult. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was paying attention. Okay. Sounds like a neat technique anyway. Alrighty. Noel, are you sated with your questions and the answers?
Yes. And the final answer be, build it, try it, see what happens. N2OER.
That's right. More plumbing pipe. Alrighty. Next question. Charlie, you've never asked a question of this net, so I'm going to go to you next. WE2R of the Forgotten Whiskey crowd, welcome aboard K2BAR. Your question number one, sir.
Okay, Gordon, thank you. My first question is really not technical at all, so I hope you don't mind, but I renewed my license about a month ago online, and it looks like it took because it now says my license expires in 2017. So I haven't received a piece of paper in the mail yet, or at least I haven't found one. I wonder if anybody has had any experience with that and how long it takes to get your license in the mail. That's my one question.
I would expect your license to arrive within a week of the time you see it posted online.
Okay, so it hasn't, so I better take steps to get it. The other question was, I've just moved my shack from the basement to the second floor to my son's room, and I'm faced with the question of running aground. I have a ground rod below. If I need to run some kind of wire from the ground rod up to the second story, and I have some old RG8, and I was thinking of stripping it and just salvaging the braid. But now I'm wondering, why bother? I just use it as is. Well, is there any reason why I couldn't just use the old coax shield intact as a ground, as a connection to the ground rod?
Ooh, well, yeah, you could. It's better than nothing. You know, you got to worry about the thing being resonant at various frequencies. There's a whole long discussion we've had about that a couple of times now, I think we're about to have at least a short form version of it, because I think we've kind of refined our arguments. For a refined point on this one, or a refined treatise, I'm going to see if I can impose on K2ZO for this one, because he's pretty good about it. But I had the same dilemma, and I solved it, by the way, just by using a single point ground plate. I run things out to from my equipment as best I can. My shack is another issue altogether, but basically I have everything grounded at the base of the tower and anything in the shack to the tower, which is on the third floor. So I have a similar problem you do. And that seems to work okay, actually. It seems, since I've done that, it seems to quiet it down a lot of the RFI that I had floating around here. But K2ZO, you've had a moment to hopefully collect your thoughts on the subject. K2BAR.
Okay, yeah, by all means, go ahead and just use the coax the shield to do it. If you find out you have a problem, by the way, it's K2ZO, if you find out you have a problem in your ground is hot with RF, there is another little technique, and that is you can use the shield to basically shield the ground. Use the center conductor to your system ground, your ground rod, and then just ground the shield inside to the station and leave it floating down below, but connect the center conductor. Believe it or not, that'll keep the thing from radiating. But by all means, try it first, just directly connecting the shield and the center conductor and using it as a piece of wire. But don't be surprised if you run into a problem, You can shield the ground, and it does work. Okay, 2-0.
So, Jim, let me make sure I have that. At the station end, both the center conductor and the shield are connected to the ground lug of your equipment, and at the bottom, if you will, near the ground rod, only the center conductor is attached to the ground rod.
Right, and you can reverse it and try it. And I lived in an apartment. I did weird things to keep RF off my ground, let me tell you.
Yeah, I was actually thinking in terms of the reverse. I heard what you said. Try it both ways. Try it no way like you are going to at first, Charlie. I think you'll be fine. Anybody else want to chime in with a comment? This is K2BAR.
K2AMI with a comment that everybody knows, but I'd like to point it out.
Go ahead.
The length of that piece of coax that's using for a ground actually becomes a radial, and it may be resonant at one frequency for sure, and maybe at multiples of that frequency. So that's where Jim is thinking about it becoming hot. I'm sure you've thought about this, but just want to remind everybody of it. Back to net.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Alrighty, W2R, Q2BAR, your answers. Your any response you have at this time?
Oh, no, except to say thank you, Jim, and thank you, Tony. It's very interesting and some things I never even thought about. So I will keep that suggestion in mind, Jim, and Tony also, thank you. This is WE2R back to net.
Very fine. Okie doke. Well, good luck in getting your license renewal squared away. AB2XT, Mr. John, your question. This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, Mr. Gordon, this is AB2XT. Tuesday at Kit Night, there was an interesting problem I saw where a gent had I think it was called an SP-101 classic sideband transceiver, and there was some issues with the upper and lower sideband crystals, and K2ZO, I think, had suggested that they had possibly aged over time and drifted out of position. My question is, what kind of aging would you expect from crystals? In that particular instance, would you also expect the crystal filter to have shifted, and can, let's say, the upper and lower sideband crystals shift in different directions, or do they always go lower or higher, that sort of thing? So sort of a general overview of crystal aging. Back to net.
Yes, they do age, they do drift, and if I remember right, they drift, like FT-246s or even something even prettier than that. Gosh, I don't want to speculate which way they go. Anybody wish to chime in with that? It's been a long time since I pondered that question.
Depends on the cut.
Ah.
That's why you pay a premium for the cut through the crystal.
Talk to us, James.
This is K2ZO. Yeah, crystals do drift. I know I replaced crystals on my Collins S-line that had a mechanical filter. Both filters had drifted upward, and that's usually because they tend to shed impurities. Sometimes if the crystal is not cleaned properly, or it gets a film on it of the rosin used to solder the can or something like that, they tend to drift up. Usually there's more control on the filter assembly itself, and it's multiple filters, but the crystals tend to move. And of course, unfortunately, with that era of radios, there was no adjustment where you could move the frequency back. So what happens when you go from upper to lower sideband, you see a difference.
Okay, very good. That's good to know. I was going to say, boy, that's not a hard and fast rule, as you pointed out. All right, very good. Anybody else with a comment about crystals drifting and such? Okie doke. Alrighty, KB2XT from K2BR. Any other comments and to conclude?
Sitting outside, so watch out for the train whistle. I just had a question on, would it be possible if you had an HW-101 or an SB-101 like that to remove the crystals, to build a board that those crystals plugged into that had either inductors or capacitors that could be adjusted and then plug them back in? Is that a fix? I'm assuming, you know, I'm taking the view that somebody was desperate and they wanted to get it running and the crystals aren't available. So let's say the thing is antique at this point. Is there a way to build a small circuit where you can plug the crystal into the circuit and the circuit plugs into the crystal holder?
Jim?
I'm not quite sure I understand your question, but if you take a look at the circuit, the crystal determines the frequency that the circuit oscillates at. So if you take a look at that circuit at that that heat kit we were looking at the other night, you'll see that the oscillator is connected to the grid of the tube with the thing is in the circuit there, the crystal. You can change the frequency of a crystal by putting an inductor in series with it or a capacitor across it. Put too much capacitance, it'll stop. And you can move it. And in many cases, there is a circuit built like that into high-end transceivers that allows you to do that. These days, with frequency synthesized units, it's not a necessary. But you could move it. However, it probably wouldn't be worthwhile. Just go ahead and buy the new crystals. You can order those crystals from a crystal builder.
There you go. Alrighty. John, I heard the letter Q.
Good evening.
AB2XT from K2BAR.
Yeah, this is AB2XT, sorry. The owner was going to do that. He was going to buy new crystals, and so I guess that's the quick way out. Okay, that solves it for me. Back to net.
Alrighty. Let me just take a couple of seconds here before we go to Gary's question, just to point out a couple of things. Number one, the club has a couple of operating events coming up. 7 to 11 on Saturday morning is the 6-meter sprint. Hopefully people will jump in there and do that. Anytime after 10 o'clock on Friday night until midnight local on Sunday night. Oh boy, there's the Jamboree on the air. It's been extended by 2 whole hours this year. It's the 50th anniversary of the Jamboree on the Air, so we hope that we'll get a great amount of participation. The first, I'm enjoying this, being the young rippersnapper sort of kind of, but not really. This is the 50th anniversary of the Jamboree on the Air, and as such, starting with the year of my birth, they had Jamborees on the air, and this is very cool. So we will be at Ross Dock down on the Palisades, right near the George Washington Bridge, and we'll be participating in the Catholic Scout Retreat. But if you walk over from the parking lot, I don't think anyone's going to say boo other than, hi, who are you? What's your call? And so we'd love to have people operate. I think we're going to operate pretty much all the time except for about, I'd say about 6:30 or 7 until about an hour and a half later due to Mass and Eucharistic Adoration during the retreat. I think other than those hours, we're going to be rocking and rolling pretty much continuously. We'll be on this repeater. We'll be on other repeaters. We'll be on simplex frequencies. We'll be on 20 meters. We'll be on 40 and 80. Lord knows whatever else.
W2AKR repeater.
And other things that we'll have PSK-31 rocket and rolling. So we're in fine shape. We're really excited about this. Got a number of amateurs who are going to be there and always can use more. We'll be variously signing either N2BSA or W2TTT. What else? I think that's about it for that. Tony, I believe you have an event
regarding a fox hunt on Saturday. Do you want to talk about that real quickly? K2MI from K2BAR.
The fox hunt is Saturday the 27th. Not this Saturday, the following Saturday. But, Gordon, I don't know how many people caught what you just said. You said there was going to be a 6-meter sprint from 7 a.m. to 11. That's not true. It's 7 p.m. Saturday. This coming Saturday, there's a 6-meter sprint from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. And the fox hunt is next week. So I hope some guys will come out to the fox hunt. And if you don't know what to do, it'll be a show-and-tell session also. You can come along and work with us. Usually we'll have a team of guys working together to find the fox. Back to that control.
Very nice. Very nice. I hear that train coming through my neck of the woods now. That's funny. Alrighty. Very good. Yeah, so it's Saturday evening, 7 to 11. Well, that's good. I'll miss probably the first hour. But after that, all's fair. So we shall see. Let's see what else. Jamboree on the Air, you know, basically involves talking very repetitively to a bunch of younger scouts and whetting their appetite for amateur radio. So your hospitality and your patience is really required if you're going to participate. I got to tell you that right now. And keep in mind that whoever's in front of the scouts, who's ever doing that side of it, and even if it's another scout himself, can have their patience be at wit's end because they're trying to, you know, get somebody to get up to a microphone and actually say something semi-intelligent. It tends to be a lot of pro forma type things, but hey, it starts the ball rolling, and you know, it does work if you're patient. So I think that's about it. We do have a bit of an announcement, pardon me, and we're going to try it momentarily, we wanted to try a video streaming site, and I don't know if I bookmarked it. So anyway, we're going to check on that while Gary asks his question, and we'll go from there. So if anyone has any interest in that, kick up your computer and get a web browser going, and you can. For tonight, we're just going to run a little test to see if people can, you know, get in there and see the web picture. And ultimately, what we're going to do is we'll be able to do blackboard sessions and things like that, maybe even exchange view graphs. And our ultimate goal is to stream it onto the air, maybe on another frequency in parallel with this net. So it just won't be on the web, but it'll be on the amateur side as well, which will be very cool. So anyway, Gary, your question, please. KB2LCA, K2BAR.
Yeah, hi, everyone. The group is Gary, KB2LCA. Last week on the TechNet, I asked a question, which was, I want to build a coax choke valve, and normally, for a multiband antenna, the formula that I've been reading up on is a 4-inch PVC type form with 18 to 25 turns of coax. And that's enough to, well, it's broadbanded in that it's good enough through, say, 160 through 10 meters. But on when I get to 10 meters, it would be kind of dicey on the tuner. So what I would like to do is build one for, say, 160 through 20 or even 15, and then I'm going to have to use either a dip meter or some type of a meter. I do have an MFJ analyzer, but I need that probe. I mean, perhaps I could build one. And then you lightly couple it to the form. So center of it, in other words, what am I looking for there? That's my question on how to do this. KB2LCA, back to that.
Um, really don't know. I really don't know. I mean, my experience with ferrite balance is that you strap a bunch of ferrite in there and you're good to go. However, we have a magical resource for this that we didn't have last week, and I'm going to, again, go to him. K2ZO, your thoughts from K2BAR.
I really didn't understand the question. You're talking about ferrites, he's talking about a coil. And I'm not understand why you would worry about 10 meters versus 160. Certainly something that has enough inductance on 160 will work on 10 meters. That's a K2ZO.
Okay, KB2LCA. From my readings, what they're saying is that a choke valve made from coax cable spun on a 4-inch PVC pipe works well, but it's not as well on 10 meters because it's too broad-banded. They say they're wrapped between 18 and 25 turns. I was just thinking about having a dedicated one for 10 meters. And then one for, say, 160 through 20 or 15. That's what I'm talking about.
If you wrap coax, first of all, in order to get that to have enough inductance to work on 160, you would have to wrap it on some kind of a ferrite rod, the coil with that turn, unless you've had many, many more turns. What kind of diameter are you going to wrap this coax?
What they're saying is to wrap it on a 4-inch or 4.5-inch PVC pipe, like a sewer pipe.
Yeah, well, my suggestion is you don't do that at all, that you just use ferrite beads on it and just put enough ferrite beads on the coax. That will work, and choke it off, and it will work very well.
Okay. I was reading up on ferrite iron powder cores, and they seem over time, with high power, which I'm not too concerned about at this time, that they do saturate and they lose their properties, but I don't know, maybe I'm just being picky on. I just wanted to try something different, I guess. I appreciate it. KB2LCA.
You're confusing something. You're confusing the use of iron powdered core in the output section. You're not doing that. All you're doing is using a piece of ferrite as a choke to choke off any small amount of current on the outside. Okay? You treat it differently when you're doing that calculation than if you're doing the calculation in a output circuit.
Yeah, this the way they designed this was it was going to be a 1-to-1, and that's about all I know about it. They say it works very well, but it's actually better at high power than say one of those iron ferrite cores that you wind that special wire around.
We're still talking two different things here. I'm talking about using the ferrites on the outside of the coax. You're talking about making a transformer. Two different worlds.
Okay, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it's been, at the Barra Field Day, I believe you had a full-wave loop or a random loop antenna with a bunch of ferrites. Is that the type you're talking about? They're like little donut bead things that you stick on the outside of the coax?
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Very good. I appreciate it. Back to net, KB2LCA.
Alrighty. I think we finally got some progress on that. And Jim, pardon me for tossing it to you with kind of a confusing premise. I had, while I had asserted you're not hearing it earlier, or the earlier part, it's kind of amusing, to say the least, that I neglected to include the rest of the thought to you, of all people. Anyway, it's been one of those kind of days. Anyway, as far as any other questions for that, any late check-ins, etc., please call K2BAR.
Dave had a question.
I'm sorry, you're right. Dave, your question, K2DSL, your question that you were going to pull out of a hat.
Hey, good evening, everyone. So I have a Kenwood HD dual band, and they also made, they don't no longer make, but they used to make a kind of a unit that you can plug into it that captures a picture and kind of does slow scan TV right from the device. And I picked up a device on eBay, and I know that it takes a picture, but I'm not sure how I can test that I can actually transfer that picture over the air.
Now that's a good question. Does anybody know that video format or that picture format and how you might capture that?
Use a slow scan TV program and a rig blaster. I have that capability here.
So then, Charlie, I think that was Charlie, then I would go directly from me to you, or, you know, we'd go pick a channel or something and we can test it out by you trying to send me a picture and me trying to send you a picture.
Well, I don't know if, I haven't really set the settings up for me sending a picture. But I have received the picture on my computer just fine. We could try it out sometime. What is the part number or the model number of that unit?
It is the Kenwood. What is it? I think it's DCH1.
DCH Delta Charlie Hotel 1.
Victor Charlie Hotel number 1.
Got it. Alrighty. So, Charlie, is it slow scan television?
Let me read up here on a little bit. You know, there's a laundry list of different formats for slow scan TV. Based on robustness and which band you're using and frequency range, and it might be one of these, but I'm going to search for it now and see what I can dig up.
Very good, yeah, BCH1, yeah. I seem to remember there were a couple of soft packages out there that could decode it, which means you probably could take a captured picture, put it in that format, and then squirt it right back out and make it show up on his HD as well, which would be very cool. Just out of curiosity, David, which HD do you use that with, or Mobile?
It's the Kenwood dual band. This is the TH-D7AG model.
87A?
T is in Tom, H is in Hotel, D is in Delta, 7 Alpha, G is in George.
Oh, D7G. Okay. Very good. Alrighty. Well, that's pretty cool. So you could be like our man on the street if we needed, like, you know, the equivalent of a pictures from the scene of a problem. We could send you out with your HD and your VCH1. You could capture pictures, send them to us when all the cell phones don't work. No one can use their cell phones to send pictures anymore.
Yeah, if I can ever actually test it, make sure it works, that would be great.
Alrighty. Very good. Well, I have a question regarding that kind of application. I think at this point K2YLH has enough operators for Sunday for the crop walk. I'm just curious if there are people interested, we would like to have a good turnout. I think there's like 5 or 6 checkpoints and a couple other positions have to be filled. And so if you're interested, contact George. I think there was an email around or a couple of emails around looking for him. And you can always look him up in QRZ, and I think his email is there. K2 Yankee Lima Hotel. But it's Sunday afternoon. I think they want everybody meeting at 12 or 12:30 at a church up in Park Ridge, and then deploy by 1, and away we go. So it'll be fun. In any case, any other questions, comments, confusions for the net, please call K2BAR.
Yeah, I had another comment for Larry. It's K2ZO.
Good.
Yeah, KB2LCA, K2ZO. You still there?
Yes, Jim.
Take a look at the wire man, okay? I think you're confusing building a transformer-type ballon with a choke-type ballon. Best are the choke-type ballons because they tend to choke off the RF. That's all you're interested in doing. Take a look at the wire man. They've got a website, and they've got a couple of kits, and that's what I've used, and they work very well. And they're not expensive at all. You just thread them on a piece of coax, and off you go. Okay?
Okay, very good. I may not have his call right, but I think it was W2DU came out with something like that a while back. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I know, Walt. Yeah, W2DU is the guy who pioneered that type of construction with the string of ferrite beads on the coax.
Okay. Yeah, I was, I came upon that one, too. I just remembered his call. Okay, very good, Jim. Thanks a lot. KB2L's here.
Alrighty. Well, folks, we're going to have some fun this weekend with the Jamboree on the air. We're going to have fun with the 6-meter sprint on Saturday night from 7 to 11. And look for us then. Are there any other questions and comments for the net? I can't find my video link right yet, so I'm going to figure on postponing that unless magically we end up with a need to. Boy, am I getting absent-minded. I'm tired. It's hot up here too, by the way. It's 93 degrees in my ham shack, so. It's a lovely thing, not. So anyway, in any case, if people have some questions, we can take them right now, and if not, we'll go on and secure the net. This is K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, I want to thank everybody for a very pleasant evening, and it's a little crazy getting the net started tonight, and so we got it done. That's a great thing to be able to get done, given the craziness of it all. My wife needs directions to a place, and she sent me this binary file of junk that I can't read, so to go downstairs and sort that out. And Charlie, I should be at your house in about 15 minutes, if that's okay with you, to pick up the tower. So, or that beautiful golden spire, as opposed to, I think you called it, that yellow, I forget, well, anyway, whatever it is. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you very much for a beautiful net.
You should see this thing, it's ugly.
Seeing you on the air this weekend, and certainly next week on the various baronets. They are the 10-meter net on 28350 on Monday night at 9 p.m. K2ZO is our host. On Tuesday, N2OEL runs the net on the 443.100 repeater, 141.3 is the PL, just as it is here. And that is also at 9 o'clock. And that's in Franklin Lakes, by the way, that repeater. And then Wednesday night, we're back here on 146.79, the Burton County FM Association's primary 2-meter repeater. And what do you call it? KB2IB, pardon me. Ben is our net control for the general chat net on Wednesday night, and of course back here on Thursday for the technical net. So next week, have your web browsers rocking and rolling, folks, because we're going to have a little email out there with some web streaming. We want to do some web streaming and start getting that moving, so it should be fun. So look forward to your company and your interest next week. Keep those questions coming, and thank you very much. I'd like to thank the Burton County FM Association for the use of the repeater. And I would like to thank N2OEL, J1W, K2ZO, N3CRT, NS2K, KC2AWX, KB2LCA, KA2BDU, K2AMI, K2DSL, AB2XT, W4DSA, WE2R, and W2TTT, your host, as the Beaver. What do you call it? Showing my age there, guys. Sorry. We'll secure it this time, and thank you very much. This is K2BAR.